You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning. Thank you so much for choosing us. It's great to have you on board. Plenty of interesting stuff for you. Stuff covers everything, doesn't it? And lots of your comments coming in on various subjects as well. Some of you motivated to text in after Fiona talked of the situation of her grandson. And some advice coming in. That lady needs an assessment of needs done to actually identify the child's needs. Another, I've been trying to get a psychiatric appointment for my child who's under 12 years old in Donegal. The system is so broken, I've waited 2 years just to be seen. It takes about 3 months of talking before I get any type of prescription to help him. The big issue there is no child psychiatrists in Donegal, and we're pushed into an already full system in Dublin. We're currently attending Dublin, and that is where those up to 13 years delays are. My child has been refused CAMHS 3 times, self-harming and suicidal, seemingly not bad enough. How bad does it have to get? I'm at my wit's end. See, with texts like this, if you've any advice, please, and you understand these situations, because we are a family, right? That's the way I hope we see each other. If you can offer any help or support or advice to this person, I can't imagine what you must be going through, and I'm so sorry that the system has failed you to the point that you are at your wit's end. Because it's not just your child, you're feeling every emotion and every thing that they're feeling. So just to read this text again, my child has been refused CAMHS 3 times. They're self-harming and suicidal, but seemingly not bad enough. How bad does it have to get? You know, how bad does it have to get? That sounds like an immediate crisis that needs immediate attention, but that child's been refused access to CAMHS 3 times. What possibly could be going on there? What advice might you have for that listener? Public services won't accept anyone without a GP referral. Another, the GP is usually the first stage in the referral pathway. And another, primary care are overloaded with referrals because CDNT moved their workload over to them. And I'm conscious that some of these comments might be offensive to certain people working in certain areas. I'm trying to screen them, to not to remove them, but to try and acknowledge that when I can. Just some on some general topics right now between roads and what have you. On the issue of flooding, Greg, the council road workers should cut they should cut tablets along the road grass margins. Maybe that's a misspelling. Maybe they mean gaps, so the rainwater will run off and soak into the grass. I've got to do it myself sometimes, otherwise the roads near me would be flooded. The councilmen did it years ago, but somehow they're unable to do that work now. We pay a high car road tax and property tax to substantiate it. Again, just to be clear, we have so many roads around the county, and not everyone's every issue is going to be made known to the council. So certainly keep contacting us, but also make sure, if you haven't already, to contact the council so they know where these pinch points, or whatever you might call it, are. El Galdona Road flooded. Yes, the main road to Rafo flooded yesterday. The main road flooded above Dromahol, flooded also at the Manor roundabout coming from Newtown, flooded as well. Maybe the council should do their job. End of story. Thanks, frustrated listener there, I think. In relation to the exchange rate post, it sounds like AIB quoted the wrong rate. Actually, I'll read that post and get back to that, actually, because I didn't get round to that yesterday. Is it here in front of me? Right, I'll come back to it. Good morning, Greg. I'm wondering, would you ask your listeners, would any of them happen to know a seventh son of a seventh son who would have a cure for ganglion cysts in my son's wrists? My son was operated on twice with the cysts and sacs removed, but unfortunately for him, they keep coming back. People have advised us to whack them with a Bible, but it's not an option because his wrists are tiny. I wouldn't advise that in any case. Two of my younger siblings had the same condition, and a seventh son of the seventh son seen them once and they were cured. Unfortunately, that lovely man is no longer with us. If you could air this to your listeners, it would be much appreciated. But if not, I totally understand, because I know that you're very busy. No, it's fine for us to mention it for you. So it's a seventh son of a seventh son. Now, does a seventh son of a seventh son by default have a cure for ganglion cysts? Or does that just come with, in people's belief system, does that just come with being the seventh son of a seventh son? But anyway, listen, we always get great responses to this. So if you can help in any way, please let us know. 0866 25000. On the election of President Connolly, I'm very disappointed, Greg, that we as a country don't make more of an inauguration of our president in any other country. It would be a national holiday. On the issue of flooding again, Greg, I messaged you last week about the flooding between Trenta Church and Trenta Crossroads. It is adding 3 extra miles for parents coming from Trenta Crossroads to go to Churchill Community Play School each morning, and the same for parents heading to Trenta National School from Kilmacrenan side. The flood has never went away. Water lies on the side of the road, and the road drips or dips on both sides as there's so much traffic on the road with lorries. Councillors have been contacted about this matter, and something needs to be done as it's costing parents extra for fuel to take their children to school and the play school. This is ongoing with the rainfall since September. So this is flooding between Trenta Church and Trenta Crossroads. I wonder, did I read that text out? It doesn't feel familiar to me. Oh, but maybe you've added more context. What is going on there? It doesn't sound like a problem that would be very difficult to resolve. You know, get a mini digger in there or something and let the water away. If it hasn't always lain there, then however it used to get away is blocked. So it can't be a tough job to go in and do that. Again, please make sure that you've contacted the council. And what that means is it strengthens our... it strengthens the weight of what, if we contact them then, right, and we say, listen, we know listeners have contacted you, and it's just to make them aware. It's not to try and make anyone's life any more difficult. But it's important we have these conversations, you know, because you heard from the head of the ambulance service here that off the back of the publicity that there was an extra focus on vehicle access, ambulance access and all that type of stuff, right? So what we try and do here is constructive, and it does make a difference, and it does seem to influence those in positions of power. And it's, listen, we're all drinking the same pubs, I'm sure. It's not about anyone individually. It's about collectively what we can do the right thing, make the right decisions and hold people to account, etc. Right, let us take a break and I'll be right back. Now, we are going to discuss pedestrian safety in the Milford area with a couple of guests. I'm going to say good morning first to Dr. Mohamed Mozam Golzar, who's a GP in the Milford Health Centre. Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Greg, for having me. Thank you.
Now, a group of GPs, it doesn't happen too often, right? So I think it's significant in that a group of six GPs have come together calling for the urgent provision of a pedestrian footpath along the R245 between the Mulroy Woods Hotel and, I suppose you could say, Lidl in Milford. I would be on this road from time to time, and, you know, it looks perilous when people are walking up and down this road. So from your perspective, Mohamed, what are the problems? What needs to be done?
As you already mentioned, it's an issue of public safety, to be honest. So this stretch of road currently has no footpath at all. It's a single carriageway. It's a speed limit of 80 kilometers per hour, where we can imagine how fast vehicles can go. Yet it is used by the elderly residents and parents pushing prams, actually, on the road. And there are some international asylum seekers and, you know, protection applicants and living in Mulroy Woods Hotel. They use this road routinely. So it's just a risk for public safety. And especially like during these dark, wet winter months, it's generally dangerous.
And there feels to be almost, and it's horrible to say this, Doctor, an inevitability of something, you know, because people need to move from point A to B. Obviously, cars are going to be on the road. And as you described, it's a very dark, wet, narrow stretch of road, but it's a very significant road as well. So, as I say, it feels like if we don't do something, something more serious is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, and to be honest, this isn't about politics or blame, or, you know, we're not trying to blame anybody. It's just raising this issue about protecting lives. A simple footpath will make Milford safer. You know, it's just a very minor thing in the bigger picture, and it just will save lives. And we don't need to wait for something tragic to happen before we act, you know what I mean?
Yes, and I mean, you are, and the other GPs are knowledgeable enough to know, you know, we can talk about the planning process. We can talk about funding and all. We know all of that. You're accepting those things, but this is so pressing that those things need to be sped up.
Exactly. And you know, as local GPs, we see firsthand how simple things like a small, safe footpath can make a real difference in people's life and make life safe, you know. And and there have been some work done already. We are thankful to Councillor Declan Meehan as well and others who have been working on this project. And we've been told there have been some funding approved already, but that's not enough. It's only for phase one. They need more funding for moving on further to start this project. But again, that was the reason of, you know, pushing this again and again, to rather just waiting on all the procedural proceedings and, you know, the meetings and everything. If this can be sped up, that would end up, you know, saving lives. Yeah.
And Dr. Mohammed, we can talk of, there's a couple of cohorts of people here, and I'm just interested in how big the second cohort is. There are those who will need to walk into Milford or to go and do some shopping. But I'd imagine there's a chunk of people, Doctor, who are almost bound to their house, if I could put it like that, because they don't want to roll the dice of walking that road. So in other words, they don't access the outside world.
Exactly, you're right. And I would say the people who we see at the moment, some of them, I won't say all of them, but some of them are from the, you know, the international protection applicants, and they don't have access. They don't have their own cars. Mm. They don't have all the time access to the public transport on that area. So they have no option to just, you know, they have to get out on the road. And the things we see, which are very disturbing, is we see pregnant ladies walking on the road, ladies walking with the prams, you know, babies in the pram. And it's when we are driving on the road, it's very difficult and dangerous for the drivers as well, you know, in these dark cars.
Yeah, for sure. And no one wants to be responsible for any injury or loss of life. Stay where you are, because you did reference Councillor Declan Meehan. He joins us on this issue as well. Declan, good morning to you. And I know, as Dr. Mohammed has pointed out, you and other councillors have, you know, pressed the need for this footpath. It's been the subject of a few motions and what have you. So, you know, we're pushing an open door in terms of a political will for it.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me on, Greg. I think this is a really important issue. It's one that goes back in Milford for over 30 years. This isn't a recent issue, but obviously development since maybe April 2022 has made the case for a footpath between Lidl and the Mulroy Woods Hotel more pressing in terms of a safety issue. Just, I suppose, it might be helpful for listeners to run through a bit of a timeline, Greg. In July 2024, the first motion I ever brought to Donegal County Council was that Donegal County Council would explore all options for funding, including the Community Recognition Fund, to fund a footpath in this place. That was passed, obviously, at municipal district level. And in June of this year, that application was made by the roads team of Donegal County Council, and they worked on a road design project for a footpath there. And in June of this year, that funding was secured under the Community Recognition Fund, and it was €125,000. And then in September of this year, the council passed planning, party of planning, for the project, for the entire project, which includes small kind of alterations to the junction at Lidl, which will make that safer as well. Basically, the hope now is that work would commence on this, Greg, in the first quarter of the new year, first quarter of 2026. But the reality that we're faced with, and this, we've had clarity from the roads team on this, that €125,000 that's been secured won't be enough to do all of it. It will be enough to do the preliminary work around the little junction, and maybe somewhat of a footpath extension from the Mulroy Court housing estate. So there's a gap there in funding. There's more funding that we need to secure. So when you're talking about pushing against an open door in terms of political will, it's our job as councillors to ensure that we keep pushing for the rest of that funding that's needed.
And where does that funding come from? What are the funding avenues there, Declan?
That's a good question. And this is actually one of the biggest obstacles to that footpath. So when we talk about footpath funding, usually that comes through active travel from the NTA, National Transport Authority. But active travel projects are by and large only within the 50 kilometre an hour speed zone. And this footpath lies outside that speed zone. And so therefore, it's difficult to get funding through the regular mechanisms. And that's why I had pushed for an application to the Community Recognition Fund, because it's, we have to think outside the box when we're looking at funding for this project. There are a number of other funds that we could potentially tap into. And one that I would be looking at the council to explore is the Outdoor Recreation Infrastructure Scheme, which is ORIS. And that funds footpaths that are part of walking trails. And I think it's really important to emphasise that this, as important as this footpath is to the residents of the Mulroy Woods Hotel, this is also a key piece of infrastructure in Milford generally. There's lots of people living up in the Lag, for example, that cannot walk safely into town around the Mart area. You can't walk to the Mart safely with a footpath where there's other businesses, including a gym located. So this is something that benefits the whole community. It's also an integral part of the Columkill Trail, which is one of the most popular walking trails in Milford and indeed in this part of the county, and one of the most beautiful, if I do say so myself. So again, that's why we're trying to link in with all available funding options to try and fill that gap and get more money secured so that phase two and hopefully a final phase could be tackled either in the latter half of 2026 or after that. My priority as a councillor of the area is to get that funding as soon as possible. And we need to look at all options to do that.
Yes, and here we are, Dr. Mohammed. We're at this point whereby we have the political will. We have a loose timeline, but we don't have time. You know, we potentially don't have time.
Yeah, exactly, as you said, Greg. So, as you said, and thankfully, Declan Meehan has been working on this already. But the problem, there are a few issues in here, as Declan Meehan said, that about that 80 kilometers per hour thing, and it won't be, we can't get the funding from that particular department, NTA. So it's, and as I said earlier, there are some people, it's not about how many people we are, you know, are walking on the roads. You know, even one life, we in terms of life, it's one life, it's not 1%, you know, it's one person. So even if one person can get hit by a car, get injured or lose their life, that's a massive, that will have massive impact on a whole of the community.
Yes, so, and you're right, Mohammed, and I'll bring Declan back in here. You know, unfortunately, we often say if something's not done, something could happen, but that's a really dodgy stretch, and people do have to walk it, Declan, and I just hope that we don't return to this story in the wake of a tragedy, as Dr. Mohammed quite rightly pointed out there. You know, one life altered, one life lost is one too many, and we are forewarned.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose what I want to say as well is to thank Dr. Mohammed and his colleagues at Milford Health Centre for making this intervention, because it comes in a long line of representations from members of the community. This was a huge issue during the local election last year, not just in Milford, but on the doors in other towns as well, where people were referencing that stretch of road. So I want to welcome that intervention. Any interventions like this are very welcome, because it builds our case for the need for funding for this stretch of road. I would hate to be coming back on to this show, Greg, to discuss, you know, a fatality or even an injury that had taken place because that footpath was not in place. And as a result, it is a key priority of mine to get this over the line.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Declan Meehan, for joining us. I do appreciate your time this morning. And obviously, we'll pursue this with the relevant agencies as well, Doctor, to try and get some response in terms of funding and what have you. Because, you know, we're looking to be solution focused now, right? We know what the problems are. We know what the potential holdups are. But we're in the solution stage of things now at this point, or at least that's where we need to be.
Perfect. No, thank you so much. Thank you. It's just at the end of the day, it's about protecting lives and making Milford safer.
100%. Thank you so very much indeed. That was Dr. Mohammed Mozam Gulzar, who's a GP in the Milford Health Centre. And he, along with other GPs and people, I'll mention them, in fact, Dr. Elizabeth Maxwell, Dr. Mona O'Boyle, Dr. Mary Sweeney, Nurse Anya Callahan, Nurse Fiona Gibbons, and Dr. Paklok Boris Cheng, all of them are so concerned for people. And the concerns, just to be clear, right, because sometimes these issues can get dragged into another topic. We've been discussing concerns about safety on this road and access to that hotel and other areas long before it was used as it is being used right now. So this is an ongoing issue. But obviously there's more footfall now, potentially, you know, shopping, traffic, etc., etc. Now, there's something I wanted to mention just before the break. It's there'll be a series of masses taking place over the next wee while, but particularly on Sunday because it's a Remembrance Day. And I want to let you know that a mass for those who lost people in road traffic collisions takes place on this Sunday, the 16th of November at 11 a.m. in Christ the King Church in Gortahawk. And after mass, everyone is invited then for tea and coffee. So that's a Remembrance Mass this Sunday in Christ the King Church, Gortahawk, and it's to remember those who've lost their lives in road traffic collisions. Now, Coyle's Bar and Restaurant are presenting a night of live music and dancing with the Fantastic Beefsteak Dancers, followed by a DJ and dancing, and it's to raise money for the Newtown Cunningham CFR. So it's on November the 21st at 9 p.m. Complimentary food, which is always nice, a bit of soakage, and there's a raffle on the night and donations on the night. So that's a great night by the sounds of it, on November 21st from 9 p.m. in Coyle's Bar and Restaurant. You've got the Beefsteak Dancers, you've got a DJ and dancing, and you also, whilst having fun, you're raising money for the Newtown Cunningham CFR. So more than happy to mention that. How about some good news? The HSE has announced that the Finn Valley Physiotherapy Department will be relocating back to the St. Joseph's Hospital site in Stranola from Monday the 17th of November 2025. This is a story we covered way back when. And I committed to, you know, I said, you know, to the health minister, we send us in positive stories from the HSE as well. You know, often on a show like this, a lot of what's mentioned in relation to the health service is negative, but that's not an indictment of the health service as a whole or the positive experience that the majority of people actually experience in engaging with the health service. So we're pleased to welcome the return of the physiotherapy department back to St. Joseph's Hospital on Monday the 17th. And the move marks the completion of temporary arrangements put in place to facilitate essential fire safety upgrade works at the hospital. During this period, physiotherapy services were provided from alternative locations to ensure continuity of care from people living in the Finn Valley catchment area. So the return of services to St. Joseph's reflects the HSE's ongoing commitment to maintaining and enhancing local healthcare provision. And the newly prepared accommodation on the hospital campus will support the delivery of high-quality physiotherapy services to the community. Maura Gillens, the Acting General Manager of the Primary Care Division, she said, "We're delighted to welcome our patients back to St. Joseph's. The new physiotherapy facilities have been carefully prepared to provide a safe, comfortable and modern environment, ensuring the highest quality care for those requiring physiotherapy services." So, and by the way, the Finn Valley Physiotherapy Department at St. Joseph's Hospital can be contacted on 9189722, 9189722. Now I'm in studio with Donegal musician, Kilcar musician. Don't want to upset anyone in Kilcar. Sean Molloy. Hi, Sean.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
Not so bad.
Good stuff. Right, now, I suppose your music comes from life experience, doesn't it? And often that is the way the best of art is, when people can sort of self-reflect or express themselves in certain way. And you were born with albinism and you'd be legally blind. That in and of itself, obviously, navigating the world, right? Learning how to do that successfully and independently is a challenge in and of itself. But obviously, did school life tough for you?
Yeah, no, it definitely did. You know, everyone... kids are kids can be kids, like, you know, I look different, white hair, pale skin.
Oh, you look cool, you know? By the way. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But like when you're a kid, it doesn't seem like you're cool, you know what I mean?
I know, and I'm
not, rocking it now, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and I'm not in any way diminishing it.
No,
because
yeah.
People go in to get your look, which
they just didn't know back then that that's the way it was going to be.
And sometimes with the young ones, you know, it's just because someone is different and that's it. It's a lack of education, a lack of understanding, and not really understanding the impact it would be having on you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Just kids don't know, I suppose.
Yeah. And so how did you get through school?
Oh, yeah, no, I got through grand. Well, yeah. Mostly. Yes. I passed the leaving cert anyways, but it wasn't too bad.
So, well, you've got one on me. I didn't. And then early, your late teens, adulthood, what was life like for you? What is life like for you?
Well, I moved to the UK when I left school. And something happened over there. Actually, the reason I wrote the song.
Mm.
You know, I got sexually assaulted when I was in the UK.
I'm sorry to hear that,
It was rough, like it was awful, and kind of the reason then I wrote the song was so that, like, it's not your fault. It was for me to be able to believe it. Yeah. You know, I needed to believe it.
Yeah.
And then when it was wrote, I did believe it. Like, I can remember the day I wrote the song, literally sitting on my couch, like, playing those words over and over and over.
It was almost like self-therapy.
Yeah, literally, yeah. You know. And then I thought, you know, I hadn't spoke about it to no one. Like, I hadn't. It was kind of a disaster, to be honest. But looking back, I didn't know any better. Like, but didn't speak to anyone. And then eventually, when I came back up to Donegal, like, I got in with the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre.
Mm.
So when I wrote the song, and then when I decided I was going to release it, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give the money to you guys.
So you completely internalised this experience you had, did you?
Yeah.
You, like, just bottled it up.
I bottled it up, and
wow.
Did all the negative things people do when they're bottling things off.
Yeah, well, you know, you're the victim, right? So you don't blame yourself. You had to go through something.
Mm.
And then being able to sort of, I suppose, in the first instance, getting it out through conversation, you know, going through the right writing process, that's helped you to unpack it, I suppose, and cope with it and take the blame off yourself.
Oh, 100%, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So this track is, you're donating the money to the Donegal Rape Crisis.
I am, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was important to you.
Yeah, it was very important. I genuinely don't know would I be alive still if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. And your interest in music, performing music, when did that start for you?
Oh, I started playing guitar and writing wee tunes in my bedroom when I was about 12.
Really? Yeah. Good stuff. Well done.
And then that was sort of a hidden thing for a long time. And, then I'd like play on. I have a lot of mates who are musicians, and you know, play on gigs for people and sort of in the background, you know. This is the first thing I've actually put out, and like I'm happy with it, and I'm hoping it'll be onwards and upwards sort of thing now.
Yeah, good. And you've got a good circle around you now.
Aye, absolutely. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
And music's helped in that regard.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the song "It's Not Your Fault" is it out now?
It is out. Yeah.
All right, and
yeah.
You're going to perform it for us, are you?
I am, yeah.
Okay, and what are you accompanying yourself with? Are you a cappella or what?
I have a ukulele.
So really?
Ukulele,
okay,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. So I'm going to take a break to allow you to get that out, set up and change tact, right, to get into the zone. So I'm going to take a break shortly to do that. But is this the start of something? Now that you've got this song out there, Sean, and you've got it out of you, I suppose, as well, too, because of so much of you's in this song, what now for you in terms of performing, songwriting, etc.? What do you hope and want to do?
Well, I'm writing a lot. I've been writing a lot for years, and there's books and books and books of stuff.
Yeah.
But I've been writing a lot, even in the process of getting that ready to be released, and I'm hoping there'll be something new soon enough, something else. And
very good. And what about performing?
Yeah, try and get some gigs in at some point, I think. So we've complicated, but I have my hands aren't great sometimes, so I can't do a full gig on my own. But so I need to find some other mates maybe to join in with.
No problem with that. So you've had to sort of adapt a little bit with your dexterity to play the ukulele, yeah?
Yeah, just in recent time. So it's
It's a work in progress like everything else.
Yeah, it's literally a work in progress.
You're saying to whoever's upstairs, you know, right, I've just got over this. What's next,
yeah,
son?
Really?
Yeah. All right, okay. Well, listen, Sean, we'll allow you to get your stuff together and we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and have a listen to It's Not Your Fault, and we'll talk about more where people can access it and that type of stuff. How's that? Now, we've been in conversation with Kilcar musician Sean Molloy, and he was talking to us about his journey to writing his debut song, It's Not Your Fault. It's a heartfelt track built around a steady ukulele rhythm. And you can hear the track in its entirety, pre-recorded, with the cello in there as well. We'll talk about where you can listen to it or what have you in a moment. But performing a live version for us now is Sean Molloy. So, Sean, whenever you're comfortable and ready, whenever you're ready.
All started with quite a chaotic mind. Do you recall? And yeah, it happened, but I suppose you were only small. You were a child. Only a teen making big plans like everybody else was. What were you running from? Taking your first steps in one mad world, hoping it'd be beautiful. It proved you wrong. With just another secret you gotta keep to yourself, your brain did say. So put a smile on your face. If you can make them all laugh, everything will be okay. It takes the pain away. You weren't equipped to make that kind of decision when there's nobody on your team. You've been led to believe, and now you see them all standing there, arms wide open. Guess they're not gonna leave, at least not today. Yes, 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 yes. Life can be beautiful, not all the time. Yes, 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 yes. It's not always darkness behind the rain. No, 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 no. It's not your fault. It never was. No, 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 no. It's not your fault. From the start, and not now. It's not your fault. It never was. It's not your fault. And do you see it now? It's not your fault. And do you hear it now? It's not your fault. Do you need to hear it again? It's not your fault. So let me tell you again, it's not your fault. It never was. It's not your fault. It never was. It's not your fault. 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 Fault.
Well done. Nice one, Sean. I can see where you're coming from, how it's important to you as well. Great voice, by the way.
Cheers.
Good stuff. All right. Where is the song broadly available? Or where have you posted it?
My It's everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you find your music.
And your performer name is Sean Malloy as well, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Well, listen, well done, not just on producing the song, but your own personal journey and getting to where you are now, and you seem happy, which is good.
Yeah.
And we appreciate your time coming over and performing live for us.
Thanks very much.
Anything you want to add? Are we good?
Can I just say, could people donate to the Donegal
Red Crisis Centre, please? Of course, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah.
And play the tune as much as you can, and that also makes them money, so thanks very
much. Good stuff, good plug. All right, thanks very much, Sean. That's Sean Malloy. Back with a few comments before the news after these. Lots of your messages coming in. Reef Footpaths, the people of Milford are lucky to have Declan Meehan. He does great things. As for me, I was trying to get the Galdana Road salted this last 3 years. All the school kids that go to the Deal College Royal School, Convent Errigal, Letterkenny, St. Union's College, Letterkenny. Could even one councillor come on with you and tell the parents why it's not salted? That comes in from Sean. Councillor Meehan voted to dig up footpaths in Letterkenny, wasting taxpayers' hard-earned money, and now he's looking for footpaths in Milford, talking from both sides of his mouth. Well, not really, because the footpaths that are being removed in Letterkenny will be replaced by footpaths and cycle paths, but I understand the point that you're trying to make. Hi, Greg. This must mean we are never going to get our hotel back in Milford, going to be an iPass centre forever. Not necessarily, because I kind of predicted that, you know, that this would be tied into that issue. But this is an issue that's been going on for some time. And I think whomever is the resident of that hotel, whether they're sort of paying holidaymakers into the future or at a wedding or whatever it might be, I don't know what the future is for that building, to be honest with you. Having safe access to Milford would still apply. A caller says, we've plenty of money here in Letterkenny to dig up good footpaths for stupid bicycle lanes, and we've no money to construct a new path in Milford. As usual, we have hard priorities, right. Yeah, and same electoral area as well. In relation to flooding, good morning, Greg. Good morning to you, and thanks for being so nice. In relation to roads being flooded all over the county, this is being caused by the decision to reduce hedge cutting to once a year. Hedges are now being cut in September when they're overgrown, resulting in all the cuttings falling into the drain and blocking them. Once rain falls, there's nowhere for the water to get away except on roads. I mean, have you ever seen this videos on YouTube? You know, they're put in there for sort of satisfying videos where there's a road is flooded or what have you, and some fella or woman, but it's mostly a fella, goes in there with a stick and cleans away the channel for the water, and it just gushes away and leaves it clear. I think that's the problem in a lot of cases. I am not going to give a number out here, but there's someone in County Meath who is the seventh son of a seventh son. We have his name and number. I'm not reading it out because I don't know this guy, and I can't be 100% sure. But we have a name and a number here for that person who was looking for a cure. Reganglion cysts, the well inside Conwall Cemetery in Letterkenny cures warts. Visit three times. Just put the hand in the well. Leave something personal behind. My warts were gone after two visits, and I had them for years, but I still done the first visit. It may help.